Before we get going into your Hockey IQ podcast episode, I want to thank our sponsor, Rapid Shot. Rapid Shot is the smart shooting lane. It's like a batting cage for hockey players. Very cool. Tracks your shot in three ways: accuracy, shot speed, and reaction time. Easy to use. Actually, I used it when I played and was growing up. Very easy. Simply scan your phone in, select your settings, and start shooting. You can see your stats on the app and online. You can check them out at rapidshot.com. A great small business. I actually grew up with one of the owner's sons and have played with all the family members by now, just in local pickups here in Ohio. Very cool local business. Awesome product. I love it. I know quite a few NHLers have them in their homes. A lot of D1 programs have it at their rinks. So you have to check this out. Rapidshot.com. Check it out. Rapid Shot, thank you so much for sponsoring our podcast.
On the Hockey IQ podcast today, we bring on two special men from Denmark, Nicholas Hart and Nikolai Kieland. Both are actually currently in Ohio, the greatest place on earth in my book. Obviously, you guys have come over to North America, so welcome, guys. Excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, it was an interesting time. I actually learned about you guys from a subscriber and listener to the podcast and newsletter. So you and I ended up connecting, and it was like, okay, well, we're coming over in less than a month. So it was absolutely funny timing. maybe explain what you're doing here.
Yeah, well, just to introduce myself, my name is Nicholas Hart, and I've been playing hockey since I can't remember. Started as 3 years old, played professional in 16 years, quit playing three seasons ago, and then we started Raw.
So,
Nikolai's got a longer story.
Yeah, no, I've been struggling all night. I haven't slept all night to like boil it down. So I'm 48, turning 49 in April, years old. I moved from Denmark in 2003 to India because I was deeply delved into martial art ninjutsu, and I needed to get closer to Japan, which is the hub of that. So I've done martial arts for like 18 years. Before that, kickboxing, street fighting, and karate, and then a 6 year stint in semi-pro skateboarding. But that was back in the day when Tony Hawk wasn't the best. So I'm a serial entrepreneur and also pretty, how to say it? I've trained yoga for many, many, many years in India. Now I work with hockey and by accident, was introduced to Nicholas through his father. And, we now work with the young hockey players from Scandinavia mainly. And that brings us to Columbus, where we have three athletes, on the, pre-tryout camp with the AAA OBJ, testing themselves against the best over here.
Exactly. Columbus, heart of hockey, best place. You got it. So you mentioned that you met Nicholas through his father. So Nicholas, how did it come about that you were seeking someone like Nikolai, and why was he like the right fit for you? As you were later in your career, you mentioned you had some knee problems that you're working through. I should love to hear more.
Yeah, well, like you said, I had many knee problems during my career, and I was having the same output every time. I did the rehab, I came back, I played well again, and then it kind of happened continuously. And one day, it's like, if I do the same, I get the same results, right? And then I met Nikolai through my father and kind of opened my perspective in terms of what to be doing every day in practice, and I wondered what have I been doing in my 16 years as a pro, and I started to see there was many other things that I could do to prevent these things, and physically, but most mentally, in terms of looking elsewhere, and Nikolai was a big factor in opening my mind and, you know, help me to be better physically. I saw a progression and just enjoying life more as we worked more and more. Yeah, so that was the biggest thing, like start to I mean, I think hockey players are very narrowed in ways of thinking and just do things they get told every day. So when I started to maybe think a little bit of my own and start to work out in another way, it helped me a lot.
Well, two things I want to dig out of there. Let's start with just enjoying life more. Like, why were you enjoying life more?
Well, I think, like I said, I mean, I cannot talk to for anyone else than myself, but it gets pretty, like I said, narrowed down in ways of thinking and doing the same stuff every day. And you know, if you're not thinking of what you actually are doing, you're just doing it. It will get the same and boring over time. So when I started to nerd it a little bit and see like learn my body better and start to work on other things like small muscles, for example, because hockey players, we have very, very big muscles, and you know we're very big, and in terms of my injuries with the knees, the small muscles and the joints, I start to nerd that, I start to train that. It helped me feel better in my body and therefore in the mental part as well.
But if I may interject, Greg, just quickly, I mean, we all talk about fundamentals, right? But in martial art, where it gets really painful very quickly, and kind of the purpose of martial art is to create peaceful human beings through understanding what pain is, like what danger is, what it means to kill is the reason you don't do it. So that is what we train. So, but we have this thing called fundamentals with emphasis on fun. Through fun, because it's not fun. You need to create an environment that is fun to be in, at least when you enter and when you say, see you next time. So the middle of it, that's a different story. But that is like you emphasize the fun, and through that, a fun environment. Fun, let's say a happy environment with good energy, good vibe, good feelings. You actually allow the mental aspect, the mind, to relax, and therefore you can seek the discomfort of the development zone. Okay, so it has to be fun. So when we started strength training together, and I'm like high-fiving, let's go, man, and Rocky IV music soundtrack and Top Gun theme, and he was like, what is going on
I was
here?
very serious.
And he was like, no, it has to be, what are you talking about? No,
Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun.
I was very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I was very
but
uncomfortable.
that was the weak spot I identified immediately, like within seconds, that okay, this guy's too serious. That is part of the injury. Because he's been told, now you have a weak knee, right? So then that means the injury also,
Yeah, I really believe how to say in English the narrative.
yeah, the
Yeah,
narrative.
I have
Now
been
you're
injured a
injured.
lot, and I told myself that I have to take, precautions and stuff like that, and it really stuck to my mind. I wasn't free in the way of moving, I would say.
Exactly. So that was the first thing we had to sort of unhinge, was this narrative of I am injured and my knee is weak. So if you skate around with that, and then you get the that metal thing, the Forrest Gump thing
The
underneath,
Don Joy.
the donjo, well, then at the same time you have to be hard, fast, explosive, but you have a weak knee. Like if you would consider building a house like that, would you live in it? No. If you're told that your car is, you have an awesome engine, but you have a weak, undercarriage, would you drive in it? No. So why would you actually live in a body like that. So that was the first thing to actually strengthen. Of course, strengthen the knee, but how? Like with it's like you know, it's like strands of muscle fiber. They're kind of like long, silky hair. The muscle fibers around the joints. And we train them a lot in martial art because the locks, the breaks, this shoulder dislocations and stuff like that. So to not get that and to be able to, you know, have functional ability in the end ranges of our hinges, like joints. So we started there, and then slowly, just by building the trust, by, you know, letting go of that narrative, becoming more confident in, now in this case, Nicholas's knees' abilities to withstand, you know, pressure. And then starting to believe in it. Now, whether that's placebo or fake it till you make it, I don't care because it worked. Okay, so I'm not a doctor. I have no medical experience or background in you know, education, physiotherapy or anything like that. But I know what the body can do and what it can't.
But you mentioned the trust thing, like the relationship between the coach. I mean, in professional hockey and in hockey general, you want to do your best every day. You want to show that you should be on the team and you can't show any weaknesses, right? So you go about that every day. So the space we are creating for the athletes is a space beyond that. So not in the team, actual team, not with the parents, not with the school, but a space where we can train these things. Create the space that is okay to say, you know, work with these weaknesses so you get comfortable getting uncomfortable, you know, so
That's
we
a good
can
one.
develop in that way.
Yeah.
So that was the space that you created for me, and thereby we, when I was done playing, that was the kind of the fundamental thing
Yeah.
that we are
Then
working with the young athletes.
once we created that basis, that foundation, we could start training. Then we start loading.
Before that, it's like you can't really do anything, I
Well,
would say.
he could do it a lot of things, like a lot of, you know, I don't know, the Bulgarian split squat, goblet squats, chin-ups, pull-ups, all of them. And that's great, but you have to have the Forrest Gump thing on your knee when you skate, so you can't do it. I'm sorry, you shouldn't be loading anything. So please get that weight out of your hands and take this little elastic. You should have seen his
The
face.
rubber
Bro,
band.
no, but I'm strong. No, you're not. But you're not strong. And then he would, like, just an example, he would, like, no, but I'm strong. Then I would tap his knee, like just a small kick, like, and he would, oh, see, you're not strong. You're not strong at all. And then slowly I would keep doing that because I identified, okay, that's what he's scared of, his knee, right? Obviously. But, and then slowly over time, after 6 months, I would do it and he would not even, you know, blink. And then I know, okay, now we've gotten somewhere.
And just the thing about that, I'm very stubborn, you know. I think,
No.
of course, many humans are that,
No,
and
no, no.
especially also hockey players, you know. So
No,
when new stuff
no,
come in, it's like
no.
it was very. It sounds like I got it right away, but
No.
it took a very long time for me to let the guards down and actually let it in and think about like, okay, there is something else here for me. But it took a while to realize that, okay, it actually helps me. I feel better in the body. I feel better in my mind. The mental part of it was, you know, I think you need that as a human, of course, as an athlete. Okay, this is actually helping me. Before that, no, you need to feel it, right? With other things as well, of course.
All right, so summarizing this a little bit,
Yes, please.
I was thinking as you were talking here a lot about like getting out of the routine a little bit, just doing the same thing over and over again. That's great because you're going to get good at what you practice, but that may leave gaps, one. But number two, from the mental side, it's very boring and mentally draining, and it's almost not stimulating. And as soon as you get out, it's very uncomfortable. So it's becoming that comfort with the uncomfort, having that greater awareness of maybe this could help me. You know, like you do need to have some walls and boundaries. Like a person without boundaries is not a person, but being open as you are evaluating these things and figuring out, okay, how do I make sure I have a good foundation, or I'm keeping it fresh, keeping it fun and stimulating, so you can go through and do the work. Like that's a, it's an absolutely massive thing. And the second piece that really came out of all of that for me was just making sure that we've got a safe space physically and mentally, so we can show these weaknesses. We can be honest with ourselves. We can have that humbleness that allows us to grow, evolve, and strengthen ourselves in general. So those two things really stuck out for me. Would love to dive into a little piece of what you alluded to within all of that, which is around thinking differently about training. It was less about, you know, how do we load up our squat rack to the maximum and really go after it, versus what you call small muscles or like micro muscles,
Yes,
a
Mike.
lot of times around joints. So we'd love to hear more about that.
Actually, I can start with that. We have a lot of like players and especially parents. I want my kids to be faster. Do you have any drills? Because they come to me because I have the hockey background. You have any drills on the ice? We can get faster. And I always say, yeah, of course I have, but you need to start with Nikolai. You need to start building the foundation to even, you know, to get more hip width, to get more open in the hips, which Nikolai can tell more about. But you know, the thinking of that is the totally opposite way, right? And that's what many doesn't understand.
So for me, in my experience, and again, this is not scientifically proven, it's empirically proven. So we say, I do not know the sun rises tomorrow, but I'm 99% sure about it because I've experienced it for 48 years. In the same way, I'm not 100% like science fact-based sure that what we do works, but based on martial art experience since I was eight, like 40 years, I would say it does. Now, in order to build explosiveness, in order to actually identify where a person or an athlete is at all, you need to see that athlete in a totally free environment where there's no mental walls kind of holding that athlete's performance back. I can give an example. When you mix girls and boys in hockey, it's great, it's good. I have nothing against that. But when you start to see that the boys bully the girl, which happens, you'll see the girls locking up physically because they're mentally cautious and you know focused on receiving a boarding or you know something like that. To not look, because women or girls, they want to, they don't want to look bad when they do stuff. They want to look like they know what they're doing. Whereas boys, they don't care. Shove them back down, they get back up, hey, right? So that's very different. So we had a girl where we told the parents, now we need to extract her, your girl, your kid from this environment because she's holding back. We don't know what she can do. We can't range her AAA, AA, single A, or whatever. We can't do that because we don't know what she's really capable of. And once we did that, she blossomed like within 2 weeks. Once she understood, okay, I'm not going to get any boardings. I'm not going to get shoved from behind. I'm not going to get, you know, any of this stuff. And she kind of unfolded and had this very unique way of skating where Nicholas, he immediately connected that to a hockey player from Sweden and said, that skate type of skating, that way of skating reminds me of this. And then the parents, we sent them YouTube videos of this at hockey athlete from Sweden. And she saw that and like, yeah, that's me. And now she's kind of like developed explosiveness, speed, and power just through that without no extra training other than kind of relaxing mentally. And actually seeing that her, what she's been like semi-bullied with her funny way of skating is actually not, she's not alone. And that gave her more confidence to put more power into every stride, into every skate. And thereby she became more explosive. She became more fast, right? So that is just one example of how off ice, in our understanding, is everything that contributes to minimizing risk of injury on the ice and increases and optimizes performance on the ice. That is off ice for us. There's many, we have experienced many who, it's just a new word for strength training. It is.
Within that.
But it's also many, many, many other things, because again, what is the root of the word? That is interesting for me, off ice. Yeah, but then it doesn't, if you look up off ice, it doesn't say in the dictionary, you know, strength training. No, it doesn't. So how do we define it? So we go back and say, okay, who's the best? That's Canada and the US.
Yes.
Sorry, it's the US and Canada in that order. So we dug down and contacted Hockey Canada and USA Hockey, and then got off-ice manuals. And there, lo and behold, it's like this whole range of stuff, including yoga, including Pilates, including like core training, including the micro muscles, including
having fun.
The fundamentals was actually written with caps, fun, and then mentals in the lower caps. And we were like, it's right there. Danish Hockey Union, what are you doing? Come on. So yeah. So,
I would actually love to dive into the story about going to the gym with you two guys. Yeah. Early on, where Nicholas was wanting to go pick up the big weights, and you humbled him with some 1-pounders.
Yes,
like that's a good story. We should share that.
Yeah, yes. I mean, yeah, I was pretty, you know, defensive, and actually, the first time going to the gym, and
yeah,
just in the beginning of meeting Nikolai.
In the Swedish club, like it's a tier one league, right?
Yeah,
it's it was in NHL, KHL, SHL at this point.
Yeah, it was in Oskarshamn at that point, and we almost got in a fight, you know, because he was showing me all these things that I couldn't do, and he was just doing it so easy. And, you know, I thought I could do those things, but when I couldn't, I really got, you know, annoyed, and he was poking my weaknesses all the time, you know? Like in a game, for example, if you're in front of the net and I'm the forward and the D, you know, he poked my weaknesses all the time, and I maybe take a penalty on him and helping his team, you know? So that was kind of the same. I was in your slot.
my low slot.
Yeah, and, you know, constantly get annoyed, and he looked me in the eye and he said, if you don't want to train with me, it's okay, I'm just gonna head out the door. And I was like, no, please teach.
So what happened was, everybody were doing like heavy dumbbells, chest presses, and this and that. It was upper body day, and an upper body day in Swedish hockey means chest and traps, that's it. But my upper body consists of anterior core, posterior core, thoracic spine, lower back, even the glutes are upper body, because they're kind of connected to the lower body, right? So the hip flexor is also upper body for a martial artist. In fact, the toes are also upper body for a martial artist. We don't break down the body.
See, those were, is there anything upper and lower there? I feel like
those were the things that he was constantly telling me. I was like, no, that's not how we do it here. Leave me alone.
So I was looking at how he was chest pressing, you know, I'm like, dude, you're like, I don't know, back, lower spine, bicep pressing. Like, you're not using your chest at all. It's only getting big because you have loaded so much weight on it that you affected the pegs as well, but you're not using the pegs at all. Anyway, he didn't get that. So I said, okay, come here. So I gave him a 1-pound dumbbell, like two, and we did some shoulder, it's called functional raised conditioning, controlled articular rotation, FRC CAS. It's basically just rotations in end range holds, with the shoulders. So you do not want to load that with weight. No, actually, it's right. Sorry, my my bad. I said, grab a couple of weights and come here. We're going to do shoulder stuff. And he came back with like 8 pounders. And like, 8 pounds. Okay. If you believe you can do that. So I took the 1 pounders and I did it. And he took the 8 pounders and go, oh. I said, okay, so take these. And that was in front of all the big bearded, you know, big chested, big bicep.
I was standing there with 1 pound, like.
But then I said, now if you apply some breathing, breath work, which is also a key factor in explosiveness, in speed, because it's great, you're explosive. Wow, your first three, you're there.
Take some juice on.
But then can you keep it going while you hold that breath of yours? How long distance can you skate, and how many seconds can you skate without taking a breath? You know, so off ice is also breath work for me. So then when we applied the breath work, you know, exhaling on the eccentric, inhaling on concentric, and then isometric holds that are sort of like put in intervals in the movement, you can see the sweat starting coming. You can see like the main arteries starting to pump, becoming slowly purple, yeah? Good. Now, if you do some core control, maintain core control. What is that? Yeah. So I hit him in the stomach. Ooh, that's core control. Now, yeah. Not hit, like just tap. Yeah.
Yeah, tap in your kind of understanding.
Now.
Yeah,
now.
But there's an element to that, right? Like you've got to shock the athlete or that person a little bit. Yeah. That helps get their attention, right? Because yes. Nicholas, you were talking about how you've got these blinders, and if one, you're not already open to new ideas, you may be a little bit open, but you're not completely open yet. You know, you've got to show the athlete a little bit of failure as a way of like, hey, there's room to go here. There's more, not just, you know, having success and doing heavy weights or whatever that looks like for that person and athlete, but having that shock to actually put them into failure, which then helps build trust. Exactly. It also shows that athlete, hey, you've got room to improve here. And being able to take those blinders down, because too many times people are like racehorses, and we yes. really shouldn't be that, right? It's getting out of that comfort zone, being more aware of our surroundings, possibilities, how things interact and play with each other. So I think that, I mean, we've talked about it in a few different ways, but it's an important element for players, coaches, parents to understand is about that like shock factor and its importance yes. in the relationship yeah. and improvement.
I just want to quickly like this disclaimer. I do not hit athletes
that hard.
I'm just because like Nicholas was like, hey, you can't do that. I said, excuse me, you want me to find your best hits, Nicholas Hart, on YouTube? I can't do what? Just because your skates off? Come on. No, but it's hockey. It's okay. So it's okay when it's on ice and there's a referee, but when it's just two of us, it's not okay. Did I do anything illegal? You know, I'm not a criminal. I just want to put that disclaimer.
Yeah, we're gonna send you to the box, Nikolai. You know, you got to take 2 minutes off and you come back after.
So, yeah.
No, so that's wonderful. So, if you guys have anything to follow up on that, please step in. Otherwise, I would love to talk about how you operate your training center, how yes. you go about managing players. That may not be, you know, direct, like they hire you, but they're still mm-hmm. playing for their clubs and the potential issues that can cause, but how do you manage across those? So feel free to add. Otherwise, we'd love to drive into that.
Yeah, sure.
Just to add on the weaknesses part, like for the hockey players to understand. So when I played, my strength was the shot, had a good shot. And the one-on-one part, you know, it wasn't really my best thing. So I always tell the athletes that I was shooting a lot after, and, you know, it was fun. But when it comes to the game, I didn't want to put myself in the one-on-one situations. And I didn't practice it, right? But after this understanding, like we just talked about, I would train my weaknesses more on the ice, and therefore I would be more comfortable doing it in the games in terms of hockey, right? So So just to put it in hockey terms.
And in terms of the how is it, the player, the individual player. Now, with our youth academy, which is built, like it's work in progress. The families are key to success, because if they're comfortable and they understand what we're doing, and of course also the result and the players, you know, like we have one family that says that's actually one of the guys who's with us here in Columbus, William. That he can go in one mood to training, and after the training, he's just transformed. So of course that helps. But they're the families that they understand what we're doing, that they get us as human beings. They might not agree with our, how to say it, way of doing stuff, or you know, they might be of a different set of, shall we say, approaches to life, but our values, we have to find our values, like five core values that drive our academy. So we connect there. And in terms of the elite players that are professional, we go to the clubs, we visit, we do player visits. In the clubs, we seek out the coaches and meet them and explain what we do. Now, most of the coaches know Nicholas. And he has a really good rep in the hockey world. I'm building mine. But once they meet us, and I when it's like we do player visits on ice and off ice, and we don't go together, because then it becomes like we like to keep that separate, because the off ice is again everything minimizes risk of injury, optimizes performance on ice. And the on ice part is also value driven, but drill and skill in terms of developing, now I'm answering for you, but developing on ice weaknesses and drilling on ice strengths. Whereas the off ice is more what happens in your home. I go to the players, I open their fridges, and they may come home after training, and then we'll have to go shopping, because there's no more stuff in the fridge and cupboards, because it's
I know a guy who once did that.
Because it's actually increasing the risk of injury and reducing your performance on ice, whatever you have in your fridges. And that could also be sleep habits, recovery cycles. Like, what do you do for recovery? Do you TikTok, YouTube, Counter-Strike, or whatever it's called, or do you actually, you know, do hot cold therapy with a bag of beans on your knees, and you know, like a foot spa to increase circulation in your lower body, not the upper body. Stop there. It stops at the hinges. Doesn't go up. No. Do you do stretching? Do you do, you know, do you warm up your joints before you go out in life, or do you just warm up before you go onto the ice? And once the coaches understand this, they actually ask the athlete, when are they coming back? And we had a coach who would message me on and off, and you know, say, okay, I told this player this today, and can you work on that with him in your training? I would like him to develop this and this and this. Now that was a one-off thing, but that was a that's awesome when the coaches get what we're doing, and that we're here to plug in. We're not here to, you know, change what they're doing. We're here to plug into the existing system, and the existing strength conditioning approach, by training the things they're not training, and then actually extracting what the coaches want out of the players, because most often hockey coaches are not very clear in their communication. They say explosiveness. That's great. What type of explosiveness? There are many. You know, is it more explosive in terms of angry, quicker? Is it more explosive in terms of standing up for another guy on the ice quicker? Is it explosive on the first three? Is it explosive reverse skating or forward skating? Is it explosive, you know, out of the box, into the shifts, out of the shifts? What type of explosiveness are we talking about?
Just to get back to what you were saying, with the what are you doing off the ice, right? So everything is training for us. It's not like you have to, yeah, you have to train all the time, but it could also be a movie. It could also yeah. be eat what you want that day, you know? So it can sound a lot like robotic, and it is in many ways, but it's about enjoying too. And we all know that
it is robotic. The robot is just called human.
Yes, exactly. And it is all about enjoying life, because when you do what you are supposed to, if you do what you think and say, you'll be happier. So yes. when you have done yes. all the things that know makes you feel good, you'll enjoy more. So yeah. that's kind of...
It's basically based yeah. on an ancient principle. It's only like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 year old principle. Nothing dramatic. What your thoughts, they become words. What your words, they become actions. What your actions, they become habits. What your habits, they become your character. What's your character? For that is your destiny. So if you take that, there's a lot of training to do, yes?
Yes. So do you guys have a physical location? Like, hey, we're based out of this. Everyone comes to us. Do you have multiple? What does this look like for players to work with you? Are they coming to a central location? Are you going to them? Are you going to clubs? Are you hired by clubs, hired by players? Just all of the above. Get an idea. So simplify it down for us here.
Yeah, we have a physical location in the parking.
Basement, where everything starts.
In the parking basement.
Parking lot's basement.
In Nikki's apartment block. We have two parking lots that is devoted for this. While we are in the process of negotiating a real facility. In Sweden, south of Sweden, which is, we don't want to jinx it to the universe, you know, so we're in the process of negotiating with this location, or multiple locations. So we are aiming for a physical place. That can happen in a week when we are back, or in a month, or in a year, we don't know. So that's that. Then we utilize what we all learned during the lockdown, the COVID period. Zoom, WhatsApp, YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, which is mainly link-driven, private link-driven. But you are welcome to subscribe, rawnations.com YouTube. Sorry, that was a little bit of self-promotion.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
Then,
hey, I say the new Hockey IQ newsletter is the best thing you can subscribe to. I'll do it too.
Yeah, and then we rent ice in different rinks, both yes. in Denmark and Sweden, and the online trainings like is very good because the athletes have a schedule with school, with their own practices. So we're very how do you say it, flexible in terms of times, right? So we can fit it in after a practice, before a practice, and we always start asking with the schedule, are you going for practice? Mm-hmm. Okay, then we do this kind. So of course we have the programs, but it's very live. You know, it's very organic. So after a game, we have to come down so they can sleep better, for example. So that's the mm-hmm. that's the biggest strength of Raw
yeah.
is plugging in, like Nicola said before, to whatever program the athlete have. It's not like, now you train with us for 3 months.
Yeah.
We're going to go through this, this, and this. No, that's not the reality of life.
And that's actually something, because there are two families here, with three kids. With us, and they are like, they're sharp, okay. They are the sharpest tools in the shed, okay. And they're challenging us a lot over here, in terms of, because we have just grown organically, or actually it was a conscious choice, but we are there now where, okay, can this become a business? Yes, we've made money. Yeah, we've lived, can this become a business? And they're challenging us a lot, which is great. So I want to be honest, actually, and say that what it has been up till now is we do camps. Like, people hire us in for camps. Players hire us in. We go to the players. But we can see that that is not a sustainable business model, because we don't have time enough to pursue this. And also, we can't copy us, and we are the product. So that is the major you know, riddle we have to solve while we are here. So we currently are hired for the full season because we are very clear. This is not like a fitness program or a strength conditioning program in the sense that our coaching. Now, the training, I have developed training programs 1 week, 4 weeks, 8 weeks that can be bought. And there are YouTube videos, so you click the video and then it comes with me. So that is, of course, taking some time. But this you can sort of just purchase from us. The clubs can hire us in, and they do, for a day or a week. The players can, call us pre-game, post-game. Or we just have a weekly scheduled online training and a monthly personal training, plus a monthly on ice, which is theme-based. So that could be the puck at the wall, getting it out from the wall. That could be forechecking. That could be like elements of ice hockey,
yeah.
Theme-based. So whatever, these are the ways you can train with us.
Yeah, whatever we see that athletes
need. Or it could be, you hire us in, so specifically Nikki, you hire him in to send some video of yourself, and then he'll go through it and then do some coaching. So you don't have to necessarily be part of the academy to train with us. But of course, if you're part of the academy, you get to go to the US with us.
All right. So you're clearly doing a lot here. you're taking some time also to travel and to find wisdom, answers, and many other things. So as you're traveling, you're going to the States, you're talking with Hockey Canada, USA Hockey, what are the things specifically that you're guiding towards, or what are you looking to gather as you're seeking things outside of your local area in Denmark and Southern Sweden?
Yeah, that's easy. We found out last night.
Yeah, but yeah, basically it started with what is the best in the world, NHL? So how can we reverse engineer that into a youth player? What steps do you need to take? I know it's different for many, but what basically, like, how can you go about like going to the NHL?
And from say our youngest athlete is seven. Okay, so from seven to NHL, what is the roadmap? And there, the Ohio AAA program is a gift, is a gift from the universe. I was introduced to Nick Petraglia on my last visit here with the Cleveland Monsters, where I have a working relationship, like off the ice, with Ben Eves, the strength conditioning coach there, and who's a former line mate of Nikki's from Jokerit in Finland. Anyway. So what we want to be the go-to academy for the under 16, under 16U, 18U of OBJ AAA. And that was what Nick Petraglia and I were talking about last night, that this is what we should be working on. So from that, creating NHL players through entering a AAA program that is training the way that the Columbus Blue Jackets are training. So that means the Cleveland Monsters are training in the same systems. And if we train the same systems on the ice, right, but have this human aspect that we develop the human being and through that the athlete on the values that we know from Cleveland Monsters because we've spoken with them. We know from the Blue Jackets because we speak with them. We know from the AAA OBJ because we work with them, that we are on the same page on the human level. Then the hockey can be added on once they come here. So keep on bringing players over. Keep on facilitating development through weaknesses. Keep on working on the human being, developing the athlete, and so that's what we really want to do. And also, of course, in the top tier, other top tier clubs like in Finland. And Sweden, of course, and with Davis clubs, but the end game is the Stanley Cup.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I got to ask here. Anyone who's listened to this podcast knows I need to know specifics. You know, what did you learn last night?
Yeah.
What have you learned from the monsters?
Good. You want to start?
Yeah. Well, last night, for example, with our young players like William here on the video and Oscar and Ludwig, of course, they both says, okay, this is the best experience I ever had. So when they go back home, they have now gotten a little bit of a clue what it takes because it's different. So now they, before they heard it, now they see it, they felt it, what it takes to be a AAA player, for example. So that's of course, we knew that, but when he said it to me, it got more real for me and for him. For example, that was my kind of take on that. And then I just want to add to what Nikolai was saying. You know, if you want to play in the German league, that's what we aim for. Then we get the context going. If it's Sweden, if it's Norway, it doesn't matter. And if you end up not being a professional, the things you have been going through with us, and like I know I talked to the coaches from the Ohio Blue Jackets yesterday, it's the same. We create great human beings that can take these parts with them in life, no matter what they're doing. And that's what we're clear with the athletes. Where do you want to play? Many say NHL, some say SHL. All right, then we aim for that. So it doesn't matter where it is, where the bar is.
Yeah. So that's definitely something that I learned, not last night, but just to round that off in terms of getting set for my answer, is that if you do know that have the destination, as well as the where you are currently, you cannot get help in terms of getting there, right? So. What I learned last night is that now I know where we're going. I honestly didn't know that before. Or we didn't know. So I know what we're doing now is we are developing players for OBJ AAA. This is what we're doing. The 16U and the 18U. That's it. That's what I learned. From the monsters, I've learned that we're all human. I knew this, but even the hockey gods are also human. You know? So, and as insecure, as nervous, as scared, as worried, and as excitable as me. And through breath work, like I thought I could come with all my knowledge of everything, but it's breath work that we have been able to plug into them with. So teaching them breath work, how to breathe, something as, you know,
fundamental
as that, you know, is actually what we can offer them while they can offer us a whole bunch of other stuff. I've also learned what we are not good at compared to American hockey and what we need to work on from a strength conditioning point of view. And now I mean strength conditioning. Because I can see how we are not competitive. If we were here a month or more, our athletes that we bring would get challenged. And it's good for one day, a couple of hours. You can sort of, you know, cover up. But we wouldn't be able to compete here physically for a longer period of time. Now, in terms of, I also learned in terms of hockey IQ, like the Eagle stuff, we are more competitive in our part of the world. Our boys have a better Eagle eye view. But the thing is, the game is just too fast here. We have bigger arenas, right? The big ice surface. So our Eagle is like more, a little more slow. Slow Eagle. It's not so snappy.
Yeah, there's some benefits to those small sided games and small area play that right there.
Yeah, so that's what I learned, that if our academy on the side combine the strengths of US hockey, North American hockey, and Northern European hockey, we actually have a more complete hockey system that can compete both over here, but also at the international level, where the surface is bigger, right? The Worlds, IIHF Worlds, and Olympic
Olympic Games, right? So we are also patrons. We have talked a lot about the US, but we are doing this to develop Danish hockey players for Denmark, because we are both expats and we are very patriotic. Like, we would stand and sing the national song before a game in Greece, wherever, in India, where I've been, or in Sweden. We are proud. We are proud to be Danish, and we do know our national song, also the long one. So that's what we set out to develop Danish hockey players, to develop Danish hockey. And that has then expanded. And that is why we have gone from Raw Coaching, which was our original name, to Raw Nations.
Yeah, and just to add on that as well, that's when we have been doing this approach, and I mean, we talk like this, and we challenging like the things that are being done already. So some of the current programs, you know, and people, you know, have a hard time with that. You know, but the only thing we want,
people,
exactly. So to take in new ideas, which is not new, which is actually ancient and older, is like, it's hard, right? Like I experienced myself. But the only thing we want is to help the next generation of hockey humans.
Hockey humans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful. All right. So to summarize again, because you know, I got a simple brain here. You gotta help me out. We need to get we've learned that competitiveness is a great thing to aspire to.
Yeah.
Added to the program. That's number one. Another thing would be just around making sure that we're developing the human as a whole. You know, and then kind of circling back to the monsters, you mentioned you know what they're looking for. You could outline that for me in a simpler terms.
Yes.
You know, what are the monsters looking for?
Consistent competitiveness, that ability, that skill, that ability, that human trait. They're looking for a holistic or a whole human being. They're looking for, or they want to develop also, like their end product, if they could ever have one with all the call-ups, would be a holistically trained, wholesome human hockey athlete that is consistently competing and every day getting better.
All right, I love this. I'm wondering where the line gets drawn at some point, because Carl Lewis had a great thing. He's like, I always went 85%. He was a world champion. And he's like, 85% was perfect for me. Because if I went to 100%, I was too tense.
Yes.
So it's like being competitive. Like, I think of like Nick Robertson of Toronto, the Leafs. Like, when he was an OHL player, like, he was just an absolute hound dog on everything, but he was trying almost too hard, where it limited his upside when he got to a level where people could skate as fast as he could. You know, where everyone's a great athlete in the NHL and AHL. Or like trying too hard and being overly competitive, per se, in the physical realm, was actually hampering his performance overall, as he struggled to think of it more cerebral and you know, using his brain a lot more to choose, you know, how do I apply this? When do I apply it? You know, a lot of that's going to come with maturity, but I'm curious how that's going to swing, because I've seen both sides of this throughout these conversations I get to have.
And it's curious. Yeah, I think it's a really, really good question, or good things to talk about. I would say, if I'm not wrong, asynchronicities. Mm-hmm. So what Nikola is hammering on the whole office part is asynchronicities. So are you strong in the one side? You know, what do you do with the kind of the, you can...
if you are lefty, you're strong in the right. Flexor. If you're righty, you are strong in the left hip flexor, and flexible in the other.
Yes. So, and it goes with the balance of the mental state as well, like you were talking about. So the table have four legs, but if you are so strong in the tree, you'll still tilt a little bit, right? So it goes with the body and the mental thing. If you're too, you know, too overexcited, it's not good for you.
Yes,
So
that's true.
I would say balance in life also is a lot.
So we have two concepts in martial art about around that. One is that you want to do 70, we didn't say 70%, 85 is fine. Let's say 70 to 85% of your capacity always, but you want to be 100% in that. So you want to be 100% focused in your 70% output, if that makes sense. And then we have another one, which is sort of the yin to that yang. Is that life is 90% problems and 10% fun. Learn to have fun in the 90%.
10. No.
All right, now we're
Learn to
talking
have fun in
about
the 90%.
yes.
now we're having fun with life lessons. I love it.
Yeah.
The last piece I had for us, I think you guys kind of already answered, which is just around like designing ice sessions. I mean, even could be off ice and just how you go about theming it. So it could be wall work, could have been forecheck, whatever the element is. For me, I'd love to have a theme in my practice. One of it could be just like picking pucks up off the wall. So just, picking up rims. How do we do that? And how does that get
Yes.
evolved into your entire ice session? So you're giving access to one, the wall pickup, but showing it in many different lights, whether it's a winger on a breakout, maybe it's a rim release to the point, and just showcasing multiple ways that we can get pucks, get it off the wall. And I think that's fantastic. So, now we're off the reservation. All our formal topics we wanted to cover are done. Is there anything you guys want to add? Otherwise, I know we're coming up here on time, so hurry
Yeah,
up.
we are. No, for me, it's just been awesome to your patience and your attentiveness is inspiring. It is. For me, it's curiosity. Always speaking, networking, contacting, connecting with the new. And then also weaknesses like strength also as well, right? But okay, now I know how you need to be physically competitive here, over here. That's very clear to me. So that also means I know how you can be, strengthening your chances or optimizing your performance coming over here from our part of the world, right? Which also means I now know very clearly the weaknesses from hockey athletes from Scandinavia or in hockey athletes from Scandinavia, which is why we now will go home and train a lot there, right? And then when we come back, when I come back, when we come back with more athletes or the same athletes, hopefully the same and more, we will see, okay, where are we now? There will be new weaknesses that we then go back and hammer out. So that's the off-ice part. The on-ice, that's it.
It's the same, how can I say it? I think you said it. It's the same for me, but I mean the focus level I've seen, when the coaches is talking, everyone is, everyone
Involved.
wanna do the right thing, of course, and maybe you're not athletically there yet, but you're still like, even though you're not putting the pass on the tape, you're still your focus is to I wanna do it. And you're in the line, you want to do like the right thing. I mean, the kids in Scandinavia can learn a lot from that. Where it's the other way around. You maybe you have all the skills and you do the sauce pass and but your intensity is not there,
I have a great
right?
example from yesterday. Our 7-year-old kid, Ludwig. We agreed because before we agreed that okay, there's gonna come a point where you're mentally like boiling, you're cooking. It's a pressure cooker, okay? Because you don't understand stuff, what is being said. But as long as you're the first one over when the coach whistles and pop on one knee, okay, and you just look at him, okay, just look at him. You don't understand a word of what comes out of his mouth. You just do that and then stick into to the middle of the line and just do what you understand is being coached or shown to the best of your ability. Okay. You do that, you're competing. Okay. So we had that, we made that agreement and he did. And the coaches were like, they loved him. And actually, two of them didn't get that he didn't understand a word of what they were saying. And I didn't tell him this yesterday, but I will tell it live now on air, that they actually thought he understood English because he was so fast. He would like, he looked at me, is it the whistle for the, and I said like, do, do, do. And he went, dar, 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 and popped one knee. And he was the first one or the second one. Yeah? And he just looked at the coach attentively. So for us, that is a huge thing to bring back. That is a weak spot in Scandinavian hockey attitude. That they need more martial art attentiveness, which is what you have over here in North America. It's the respect of the sensei, the respect of the coach. You're not on first name with your coach. Your coach's name is coach. There is a separation between levels. There is a human hierarchy, and it's a hierarchy that is stimulating competition without, you know, elbows, you know, and stuff, elbowing stuff.
Yeah, but, without, you know, hitting Nicholas in the stomach saying he's not.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and then just to add on that, like, you know, the respect, you know, they were thanking me. I was just standing there. I didn't really do anything. Thank you for your time. You know, that kind of respect for your coaches, we can learn a lot from, I would say.
And also, like a yin and yang example, to round off what the big difference is here, or the opposites are in terms of our hockey, Scandinavian and North American. Ludwig is used to being the best when he understands stuff, of course. He is probably the best. And that's not because he's with us. That is... Even if he wasn't with us, I would say that. And William as well, that family needs to make more kids. I hope they hear me. So anyway, he's used to people going over and talking to him or saying stuff when they don't like what he did. So yesterday, you had a lot of players at the same age group coming over and talking to him. And I could see his reaction was like, he doesn't know yet. Now he knows that over here, you come and recognize greatness. You like greatness. You think it's awesome that somebody is good at something and did something well. Okay? But he doesn't. So I could see his reaction. Like, oh, he just turned his body away from it because he thought he was being, you know, pointed out that this is not the way we do here. And please become mediocre like the rest of us. Don't be so good, you know. Whereas here, it is great, man. Good on you. Well done. So this is a big yin and yang opposite sort of dynamic between our cultures, and something that I'm learning right now, that we need to really carefully consider how we imbibe, should we say, a space or a place or a mental state that can cope with this coming from Scandinavia to here, since that's what we're going to do. Yeah.
Building people up is a big thing. The old American saying that I know is burning down your neighbor's house doesn't make yours look any better.
Yeah.
Building people up tends to work a lot better. You know, a lot of more responsive to saying, oh, that was sweet. I really liked how you did that.
Yeah.
You know, what gets rewarded gets repeated. So, you know, when we're talking about great this, great that, it's probably going to happen over and over again. And, you know, for me, like, I think that's the way to coach, but, you know. We could be here for another hour plus.
Yes. We'll come back, Greg. We'll come back.
No, guys, really appreciate your time. This is awesome. Glad that you're in Ohio. I think that's a great story. Even for those people that just want to make that email. I know you guys reached out to Yarmo and Ben Eves, and that's what kind of connected you here with the Blue Jackets and into Ohio, and how, you know, the little tentacles end up spreading, and you know, just encouragement for people to challenge themselves to take that extra. I mean, it's just an email. What's the worst they can say? No, and you're in the same spot anyways.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yes, no, maybe.
Come over.
Yes, no, maybe. That's it.
And I've said that a lot to add on what you guys are saying, but it all started with I was out of my comfort zone because Jarmo, when I played in Jokerit, he was the guy who took me there. And when I said that to Nikolai, that Jarmo is the GM in the Columbus 2 years ago, he said, why don't you ride him?
You're like, dude.
And I was like... I know him, of course, a little bit, but I know, no, I cannot. You can just ask, you know, and then after 2 weeks, I was...
The 3 weeks.
Three weeks, all right. I was typing and and he said, we asked, can we come? Can you help us, you know? And then he said, yeah, which camp you want to attend, the development camp or the...
So it took 3 weeks, yeah, weeks to get out of the discomfort and actually hit the phone with his thumbs. And it took 1 hour for Yamo to reply.
And that's why we're here right now, right?
So, and that is a good.
I don't think that's why we're here right now. I mean, it's why you're in Ohio, but it wasn't for the other subscriber, even smaller one.
That's a good example, Greg, on how careful you have to thread when you're dealing with weaknesses. Where you don't want to go shock and awe. Yeah, sometimes. But also, like, constant small jabs will like water on a stone. Eventually, that stone is going to be round and smooth. Okay? But if you just hammer on that weakness, you're just going to flood the stone and nobody can see it. You know? So this is kind of like, this is a key principle. But once you have them in motion, oh, then we are going. Then we are forechecking, backchecking, and then we can get the paychecking.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, guys, again for joining us here on the Hockey IQ podcast. This was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes this week's episode. Thanks for joining us here at Hockey IQ. If you haven't already, take a quick moment to hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, and drop a review. If you want to be a great teammate, even recommend us to a friend. You can follow us at Hockey's Arsenal on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the website, hockeysarsenal.com, where you can subscribe to the weekly newsletter. You won't regret it. Catch your beauts here next week for a brand new episode.